What might lifting the debt ceiling temporarily do to the economy?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Senate leaders say they are close to a deal that would reopen the government and cope with the debt ceiling. But there's still some horse trading going on. Some of it involves nips and tucks to President Obama's health care reform law. And there's a developing scenario where the Senate would agree to lift the federal limit on borrowing until early next year. Sources told Reuters mid-morning that the House of Representatives would accept funding the government to January 15th now and extending the debt ceiling until February the 7th. But if revisiting the debt ceiling soon is a component of a resolution of the mess, what does that mean for the economy? On Tuesdays, we get the views of Julie Nieman, the analyst at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
So in the scenario, we get into January. The days are 7 hours long. It's freezing outside, and they start yelling about default and debt ceiling again, like some sort of seasonal occurrence. You're worried about that.
Well, my concern is that if you do delay it through February, you're going to have more fighting all over the holidays, and this is going to keep everything in chaos during that whole period of time. Now, we know for sure we're going into recession if we have a default with the debt. But I'm arguing that we're probably going to see a real slowdown in the economy anyway, because when you have this kind of uncertainty, businesses stop hiring. They don't do their expansion. They don't do any acquiring. And 70% of our economy depends upon the consumer. And when consumers have all this uncertainty out there, including uncertainty over their jobs, they're going to be very cautious about this spending. And that means we're not going to have a red holiday selling season here. Right now, you see a lot of retailers announcing very robust plans for hiring temporary workers over the holidays. They're looking for a good season. But the longer this drags on, the more uncertainty comes into the economy, and that basically squashes growth.
I mean, because you could argue the debt ceiling is a kind of an arcane, subtle discussion, but since we're rehearsing it now, we know what it feels like now, we're feeling the uncertainty, the idea that this remains hanging over our head into the new year will actually slow down the economy, you worry.
Absolutely. And to top it off, what we're looking at now is the dollar is going to be no longer considered to be completely trusted. Treasury payments can't be completely trusted. The United States basically is the banker to the world. And with all this nonsense going on, a lot of credibility is already being lost, which means our costs are going up in terms of running business. The cost of capital is going to go up even now simply because of what's already happened. So we're looking at costs rising almost across the board. We're looking at demand falling again. Gee, that's a real close approximation of a recession again.
Julie Nieman at Smith, Moore & Company, thank you very much.
You bet.
In Geneva today, negotiators from the U.S. and five other countries will sit down with a delegation from Iran. They're working to resolve the standoff over Iran's nuclear program. For years, the international community has relied on economic sanctions to keep up the pressure. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler looks at the ongoing economic impact on everyday people in Iran.
For Iranians at the bottom of the ladder, the economic situation makes it hard to eat. Hossein Askari is a professor of international business at George Washington University.
What you used to give to your family to fill them up was the little bit of meat and lots of potatoes. Now even potatoes have become expensive.
Inflation is rising, the value of Iran's currency has fallen, and unemployment stands around 20%. Suzanne Maloney with the Brookings Institution says the middle class have been hit hard.
Something like sending a student to university overseas, that's now totally out of reach for anyone except for the extremely wealthy or extremely well-connected.
But it's a different story for Iran's 1%. Again, Professor Hossein Askari.
For the very wealthy in Iran, they're not really affected at all.
That's because their wealth has been protected by rising real estate prices. Askari says the very rich in Tehran are still spending as much as $20 to $25 million for a penthouse apartment. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Now a new indignity for those of us who fly coach, the knowledge that people in business and first are being given more fabulous reading material than you are. United Airlines, starting next month, is upgrading its in-flight magazine toward the front of the cabin. Gigi Duban has more.
On a plane, it's maybe 20 minutes or so that passengers can't fire up their tablets and smartphones. Prime time for books and magazines.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I would go crazy if I played Angry Birds for 8 hours between New York and Paris.
That's Jordan Heller, editor-in-chief of Rhapsody, United's luxury magazine with a literary bent. The airline hopes its wealthiest travelers might read an article or two and catch a few glossy ads.
Well, with Rhapsody, we're aiming at more high-end luxury brands to advertise with us.
That's where something like this pays, says Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly.
Advertisers love any kind of targeted demographic where they know exactly who they're reaching.
Especially when that demographic has lots of money to spend. There is one risk. Device free time might go away. The FAA is considering loosening some of the restrictions on when passengers can use their electronics. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that British authorities are looking into electronic chat sessions where bankers may have gotten together to manipulate currency exchange rates. One focus is a former senior employee at the Royal Bank of Scotland. The name of the alleged chat sessions, the Bandits Club, or alternately, the Cartel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.